I just wanted to share this with you for CTKers and for those of you who are able, time-wise, and if your church doesn't do live streaming, this Sunday I'm going to be sharing a word about prayer that I think is really important and relative to what's going on. Often when we tell people that you really need to pray, sometimes we say that with sort of the tune or the attitude of, or the tone or the attitude of, hey, it's an emergency now, so we better hurry up and pray. But the truth is that, that's when you and I, in some profound ways, in the spirit realm, sort of wield the sword of the spirit when we go to war. And so this is a time for the church to be very intentional about praying collectively against this evil called coronavirus. The scripture says that the gates of hell, that God is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And again, for CTKers, you'll hear some of this again on Sunday. But the church that is in partnership with God, I'll just read this little thing to you. I think this is from Mike Bickle, but I'm not sure. It says, God governs the earth in partnership with his imperfect people who reign with him in prayer. It's a good word. We know that God, this is another thing I wrote down in Revelation 8. It says, weak people who love him are his partners and his agents of change on the earth. And nowhere more is that exhibited and realized when his people collectively pray. I believe that God's going to use this coronavirus to do a lot of cool things in the lives of his people spiritually. Those who their whole lifestyle and their routine has been changed. We talked about that last night in the teaching time at 6:30. I'm going to post a prophetic word about that tomorrow. So I do believe that God's using all this that's caused us all to experience incredible change. Those who are in the world may be going through a lot of anxiety and fear, frustrations and all those kind of things, impatience as they're home with their families and they're not used to being home all day long with their families like this, or their kids should be in school and they're not. So God's going to use this to promote holiness in his people. Because only people who walk in holiness carry the kind of impact and influence on the earth that we're called to carry. And so people are going to discover that our extremities become God's opportunities. As we find ourselves in situations where our flesh is being exposed because our routine has been changed so, then we're going to learn to look to Christ to be what we can't be. The good friend, the good father, the good husband, the good wife, the good parent, you know, whatever that maybe we can't do even for Christ by our own best effort. Another thing, God's accomplishing some things prophetically in terms of revival on the earth as he postures people to cry out for him in a new way. But I believe that you and I do have say-so about the impact of something that's demonic. Because you and I, we shouldn't live alarmed by what the enemy does. The enemy lives alarmed by what you might do if you understand that you stand on the victory side of the cross and that the enemy's been defeated through the finished work of Jesus. And you and I stand in that victory, and by faith we plead the blood of Christ. I think people use that term a lot, plead the blood of Jesus, and they don't really know what that means. To plead the blood of Jesus. Jesus, our life is in the blood. That's what scripture says. So to plead the blood of Jesus is simply to plead what he accomplished through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension. To plead the victory of Jesus against this coronavirus. And as we do, the gates of hell will not prevail. The word, when it speaks about the gates of hell, I think we often think that the gates of hell are attacking us and the church is in this defensive position and the gates of hell, if we stand our ground, the gates of hell won't prevail. The truth is, we're the ones on the offense. We're the ones on the victory side. And the gates of hell, we're attacking and charging and we're pushing back the gates of hell. In scripture, the gates, the elders would sit in the gates. And so you often make decisions over a city. So in the Bible talks about gates, it's speaking about decision-making. And the decisions and the plans of the enemy will not prevail against the church. That's what it means about the gates of hell. And so as we collectively pray, pleading the blood of Christ against this, we do have authority and say-so to push back the wisdom and the strategy of hell that's been sent against humanity through this coronavirus. It's a good Another thing is God, the book Destined for the Throne by Paul Bilheimer, great book. He talks about how God uses us in prayer, learning how to exercise our authority in union with Christ because we're seated in the heavenly places with him. It's one of the ways God trains us as the bride of Christ to rule and reign with him forever in all of eternity. So that's just a little word there. And we will, Bracken, the attorney, said, in the law, the word plead means to file a paper or to make a declaration. Amen. So we're making a declaration about a judgment that's already been made. We're pleading the blood of Christ over the victory of Christ. Amen. So again, CTKers, you'll hear more about this on Sunday. And what we're going to probably do is electronically try to organize some kind of prayer time where we collectively come together and pray online. And again, this is part of how the Lord uses the enemy who always overplays his hand. And once again, he's overplaying his hands. God uses this. He didn't cause it, but uses this to teach his people how to abide in Christ in ways they never have before, as their lives were so inconvenienced, to posture his people to be more utterly dependent on him so that the body of Christ comes out of this in a greater place of revival, to posture the world to hear the gospel because they're desperate. Everything they've ever trusted in is being pulled out from under them, and to teach us and to train us for future battles to be warriors from the place of victory in the posture and position of prayer. Again, whenever the enemy attacks us, and coronavirus is an attack, a corporate attack against humanity, Christians should never live alarmed by what the enemy does. The enemy should always live alarmed by what you're doing and what you might do. Let me read this verse to you. It's kind of a neat scripture from Philippians 1. It's a cool word. I love it. Make this part of your spiritual repertoire. This is verse 27 and 28 of Philippians 1. It says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you, that you're standing firm in the faith in one spirit, with one mind, contending together in the faith or for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponents or your adversaries, which is the sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God, or deliverance. The word salvation, sozo, deliverance. Now notice what it says here. If you and I aren't alarmed, if we're standing firm in our faith, and we're not alarmed by our adversaries, by the enemy, it's a sign of destruction for him. See, the enemy's, what he's always attacking is our faith. He's going after our heart, because with the heart we believe. That's what it says in Romans. With the heart we believe. So he's going after the heart, so we give in to fear and don't believe. But if we stand in our faith, if we stand in faith, then it's, and we're not alarmed at what the enemy does, it's a sign of destruction to him. Now, if we find ourselves alarmed by the enemy, to the enemy, it's a sign of our own destruction, and he'll keep pouring it on. So what's important is that we live in faith so that the enemy stays alarmed instead of us being alarmed by what the enemy does. Never be alarmed by someone who's been disarmed at the cross, according to Colossians 2. His defeat was made a public display. The cross made a public display of his being disarmed, of his defeat. And so never be alarmed by someone who's already been defeated. He's alarmed by you, and everything he does is trying to get you off your spot so that you never figure out that he's really been defeated and that you start standing in faith, decreeing and declaring that in your daily walk and in prayer. Because if he can get you alarmed, then he knows that he can bring on kill, steal, and destroy more. But if we stand in faith, he stays alarmed by you. And that's what we want. We're the one on the offense. We're the one, again, on the victory side of Calvary. All righty. Well, guys, don't live afraid. The enemy is afraid. Don't let him turn the tables on you. He's frightened. And anytime he does something like this, either in your personal life or corporately like this, when he really throws the kitchen sink at us, it's because he's become very frightened that we as the church or you as a person are about to break through into a place and walk into a victory from which you'll never retreat, and he'll suffer defeat from which you'll never recover. Anytime he pours on something like this, it's because it's an opportune time for God. you go back and read that in the Temptations of Christ, is that it says he left Jesus until an opportune time. Not just an opportune time for the enemy, because Christ was fasting. As a matter of fact, he wasn't weak spiritually. He was strong spiritually more than ever because of his fast. It's an opportune time in the Lord. Anytime the enemy goes after you personally or does something like this in a profoundly dramatic way, it's because he knows that we're at an opportune time. It's evidence that you're about to break through into something that you've been praying for, you've been believing for, you're about to break through. And the enemy knows it. And he's throwing everything at us, or you, the kitchen sink, trying to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, to keep you, get you discouraged, and to get you alarmed so that that final step of breakthrough doesn't happen. But God wants to use the attack of the enemy to push you across the line into the breakthrough that you're standing on the precipice of, okay?